So, Julie, Nathan, welcome back to Talking to the Max. You're here at least once a year to talk about the annual report into anti-Semitism in Australia. So in this crazy, crazy 2020, what does anti-Semitism look like?
Hello, Gary. And yes, I'm back here again this year for once with the anti-Semitism report. So this year has shown the good news is 10% decrease in anti-Semitic incidents for the 12-month period, which is 331 incidents. However, there has been a increase in the more serious types of incidents, which are assault and verbal abuse, intimidation and harassment of Jews. So there's been increases in those types of incidents.
And that means, I guess, that people, anti-Semites, are happier to come out of the woodwork, so to speak.
Well, yes. I mean, when you do get those face-to-face types of anti-Semitic incidents, it does mean people feel much more, I guess, comfortable or emboldened to, you know, come out and be actively, publicly anti-Semitic.
Why are we seeing this? I mean, this is not just an Australian phenomenon. This is happening worldwide.
I think there's probably many reasons. One is the further that we go away from the Holocaust, you know, and as you all know, post-Holocaust, you know, people, all the anti-Semites had to go underground. Now they feel quite comfortable coming out. Throughout the world, probably over the last kind of decade or this century perhaps, there's been a lot more political instability, rise in extremist violence, particularly from segments of the Islamic community. You know, just sort of different things like polarization, a lot of migration into European countries, America.
Right.
That white nationalists are opposing. And then you can add in kind of the whole, you know, sort of Donald Trump phenomena. So there's a whole lot of things happening throughout the world that will mean that, yeah, anti-Semitism will be on the rise.
So you've sparked off, in my mind, a question that I was going to ask you later on in our discussion, but you discussed what's happened in America. You mentioned Donald Trump, but just in passing. But the whole Black Lives Matter movement, I note that you note in your report. And so what's the wash of that on anti-Semitism?
Okay, so I was actually, in part of my monitoring of right-wing extremists in Australia, I was following sort of two main themes. One is how they saw the COVID-19 pandemic, but then the other thing that kept coming up was the Black Lives Matter. So Australians were looking at, these Australian extremists were looking at what was happening in America with the Black Lives Matter movement. Mm. And because these extremists look, they're white nationalists, to use a generic term.
Yes.
They look forward to a race war when they can expel or kill all those of non-European ethnicity from Australia, except Indigenous Australians. So they look at all this acceleration. So when there's civil unrest, when there's violence, and the Black Lives Matter movement in America. So even though there was only perhaps a small segment or particular cities, Portland in Oregon, where there was a lot of violence from supporters of the Black Lives Matter movement.
Yeah.
So they would see that and the violence. And so they were putting up lots of videos of violence against whites and a whole lot of things. So, and they would be seeing this as, you know, this is a, to red pill whites onto the Jewish problem, the black problem, all of these problems in the world. And so this is where they were looking at this. So, you know, it just makes it, they feel bold and they feel encouraged that, you know, they talk about being in Weimar, you know, the Weimar Republic before Hitler. So
right. This
is CS societies, the race mixing, as they call it, the sexual degeneracy, as they call it, and they look towards 2033 as being, you know, a special year when they take power.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is coming.
They're looking to the centenary of the rise of National Socialism.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, yeah. I mean, if they're talking, a lot of them are talking about this, we're in Weimar at the moment, and whether they're talking about, look, you know, maybe in 5 years' time we can take power. You know, it really depends what happens, and politics can be so fickle and changeable, you know, and like in America now that Trump is no longer going to be the president, but then that also brings up its own issues, you know, good issues, bad issues.
The Black Lives Matters movement itself, on the extremes, has also been, well, certainly they call it anti-Israel, but seems to be anti-Semitic as well.
Yes, there's definitely a strong anti-Semitic element within sections of the Black Lives Matter. You know, we saw synagogues, you know, were defaced by Black Lives Matter protesters. There was one suburb in, I think it's called Fairfax in LA or somewhere, where a lot of Jewish businesses were targeted, and a lot of anti-Semitic abuse, verbal abuse at Jews there. And it is, I mean, it does kind of throw into the intersection. Now, all this kind of the... some of the newer theories, critical race theory, and how it's being changed into becoming anti-Semitic, the intersectionality of, and Jews are seen as white, privileged people, so therefore we're the oppressors, you attack Jews and it's not anti-Semitic. So this is coming from the left-wing anti-Semitism.
So we copied from both sides.
Oh, yeah.
I say that maybe flippantly, but not really, because all bigotry seems to end up targeting Jews as well.
Yeah. It's a common kind of denominator. If there's racism or bigotry, Jews will often be included. So even when I monitor the, particularly the far right, the right wing extremists. So you know they always have Jews as their target, and at other times they might have China, for example, particularly this year. And they also very often have the LGBTI community.
Right.
And if you recall, the Nazis were very anti-Semitic and anti-gay.
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, in your statistics, the difference between New South Wales and Victoria was very significant. 208 incidents in New South Wales, and I take it that means abuse or worse,
all the incidents.
Okay, and Victoria was 92, so 208 to 92, that's like 125% difference. Why? And you said to me this happened last year as well, so what's is there something going on here?
Yeah, because I remember last year when it came up, and it was pretty much the same, a double the number of reported incidents in New South Wales. And that's the issue, because I don't believe any more than you would believe that there are twice as many anti-Semitic incidents in New South Wales as in Victoria, right? So the issue comes down to reporting. And I think, so maybe people in Sydney, they know who to report to. They know, okay, you report to the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies, which is the state representative body here.
Yes.
They report to CSG, or they report directly to me or to the ECAJ. In Victoria, many people, I think they must be reporting elsewhere. Many report to the Anti-Defamation Commission, which does not pass on incidents to the ECAJ. So then we don't end up with those incidents. And I've often seen people in Victoria saying, yes, we must report an incident, you know, let the ADC know.
Yes.
So really, Victorians need to be reporting. When they come across an incident or experience an incident or witness an incident, they need to report that is to the JCCV, and you've got a new president there now, Andre Obala. You or to report it to the CSG in Victoria,
yes.
Or to report it to ECAJ, to me, right? So my email address is out there publicly. If it goes to any of those three bodies, right, then because the state bodies then hand on their incidents to me, the CSGs hand their incidents on to me, and therefore that way we will get, you know, all the incidents. But if they're going to a particular body that do not pass those incidents on, those incidents will not come up in the stats, which means Victoria looks like a much better place than it probably is.
And it probably is. So we need better coordination down here in Melbourne.
Well, I think it means that Melbourneers need to know if they want their incidents to be recorded. And the important thing about having the incidents reported and recorded in the anti-Semitism report is that this report goes to governments, federal, state governments.
Yes.
It goes to ASIO. It goes to the Australian Federal Police. It goes to the state police, so, and to the human rights body. So all of these people then know this is what is happening to Jews in this country. And, you know, so that's why it's important that incidents are reported,
yes.
And that they are reported to the correct bodies.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly. So something we need to work on down here.
Yes, yes.
Okay. You do point out that the acts that were on the rise were actually the more dangerous ones.
Yes, yes.
Does that include any physical attacks? I mean, I know there's incidents of, you know, I know there was some egging and somebody stole a yarmulke off someone, things like that. But does it get any worse than that? Not that that's not good. That's not bad, but...
Yeah. I mean, if you talk of the legal definition of a physical attack, of a physical assault, that's touching someone with something, right?
So right. Moving,
throwing the kipper off or, you know, sort of throwing eggs at people, right? So fortunately, we don't have grievous bodily harm.
Right.
We have an incidence of those, apart, the last one would have been the stabbing in Melbourne of the brother and sister, right?
Yes.
Which was never actually counted as an anti-Semitic incident because there wasn't enough evidence either for the police, CSG, or for us to count it as such, even though it most likely was. So the actual, there was a doubling in physical assaults this year, but here again, they are minor, they're not grievous body assault.
Right.
But we do count them as physical assault.
As physical, yeah.
Yes, yes. You know, once you start getting physical touch someone, that's different to verbal abuse.
Now, during the year this year, especially in Melbourne, we've had reports of incidents, anti-Semitic incidents in schools.
Yes.
And that became quite highlighted. And the department has looked into it, and I guess my question really is this, do you think it's been adequately dealt with?
I've read where a lot of the parents involved were not happy,
yes,
with the response by the government. I think the Victorian government is looking at changing the curriculum, and they need definitely to do that. And so Victorian government had an inquiry into anti-vilification laws, and I addressed that as a co-convener for another organisation, Hate Crime Network. But Peter Wertheim, the ECAJ CEO, he also addressed that inquiry. And he was saying that Victorian schools need to, in the anti-racism education, not just talk about general anti-racism, but to include anti-Semitism specifically as a form of anti-Semitism, of racism.
Of racism, yeah.
Otherwise, most Melbourne students, you know, AKA Jews are seen as white, we're seen as wealthy, we're seen as privileged. So therefore, any racism against Jews is not going to be seen as racism. And this also, I think, amongst teachers and other staff and the principals of these schools in Victoria, and it does occur also in other states. I don't think they actually recognise or know what anti-Semitism is, right?
Right.
And so they need themselves to...
Better education.
Yeah, the teachers and principals need to be educated about anti-Semitism. The history of anti-Semitism, how it manifests nowadays, is not always a swastika or, you know, sort of Nazis running around. It manifests in many different ways, and it is just as insidious and hurtful as any other form of racism.
Yep, yep. Now, on the world stage, and you mentioned America, and of course in Britain we saw Corbyn dealt with by his party, finally, although he's been let back in again subsequently. Do you think Labor's change in Britain has changed enough significantly to have a new face, because it has brought up this whole issue of, well, you know, you said before how immediately post-Holocaust it was not okay, but that's gradually being whittled away. Do you think it was reinforced in Britain, in British Labour?
I think Keir Starmer, the new Labour leader, is trying his best to address the issues of the anti-Semitism in the Labour Party, and it did go to the UK Human Rights Commission, who did find that, yeah, basically the British Labour Party was institutionally anti-Semitic. And we are seeing similar kinds of things in the Democrats in the US. Thankfully, the Australian Labour Party seems to be all fine with this. But it does raise issues of how do parties, let's say mainstream parties, deal with anti-Semitism amongst some of their extreme elements, whether you talk on the far right-wing parties or on the far left within left-wing parties. And this is something that Corbyn and the Labour Party has it's shown the world that, you know, so-called ostensibly anti-racist parties can actually be full of racism.
Yes.
Yeah. So hopefully the British Labour Party is now sorting out the issues, because particularly if they wish to gain government at some stage, they need to sort this out.
Absolutely. Julie, finally, I wanted to ask you about, there are, in the report, as always, there's quite a significant number of important quotes about anti-Semitism from leaders around the world. And I thought it very fitting that Jonathan Sacks was included there, the late Jonathan Sacks. And I thought his quote about anti-Semitism was particularly pertinent, because he related the story of Purim, which was to kill Jews, to Nazi Germany, and he related Hanukkah, which was, of course, the Greeks trying to stamp out Judaism as being equivalent to the Soviet Union. And I think that's a really important lesson.
Yes, yes. There are similar ones also along those same lines by Ben Cohen, who will talk about the BKLR anti-Semitism and the dinner party, but I can't think of the bistro anti-Semitism.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're the same kinds of things. So on the one hand, you've got those who are very overt and quite happy, we want to go kill Jews, right? And on the other hand, you've got those, well, we don't want Jews to be Jews. We want them to assimilate and because being Jewish is bad. So the quotes that I put in the anti-Semitism reports are to try and educate people about anti-Semitism and how it manifests. And so, yeah, so I was very, I mean, all of us were very sad to see Jonathan Sacks die, because the man has been an absolute brilliant person and educator. So anti-Semitism is just not one, doesn't manifest in one form, it manifests in many forms. And so the Jonathan Sacks quote here shows you two basic forms of it.
Yes.
And it also shows the left wing, the right wing, that, you know, and it manifests in different ways. So no, it is a good quote from him.
It really is. Julie Nathan, congratulations on the report, which can be found on the ECAJ website.
Yes.
And congratulations on your work. And I think it's really, really important that we keep our finger on the pulse of this. Try and counter it as best we can.
Yes, and the other thing, we also must always maintain a measured response and ensure that we don't underestimate or underrate anti-Semitism, or that we don't sensationalize it. Once you start sensationalizing anti-Semitism, it becomes counterproductive. So that's what we at ECHA try and do, maintain a measured response on that. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you very much, Julie. All the best.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.